special meeting of the Town of Bolton Finance Committee, and it is 5:30 p.m. on May 20th. And I will go through who is present. And I have myself, Ross Lally, member at large. We have in the room also Melissa Whelan, one of our members at large, Tyler Egner, member at large. We have Danae Johnston, who's a member from the Board of Ed, Ben Davies, who's a member from the Board of Ed, David Coles, who's a member of the Board of Selectmen, and Rodney Fournier is online, who is our first selectman, also representing the Board of Selectmen. And then for other people who are part of our meeting, we have Jim Rupert, who is our town administrator. We have here Stephanie Smigala, who is our interim CFO. And also in the room is David Caruso, who is our superintendent of schools. So, and then we also have Mary Johnston, who is our board clerk and responsible for helping us make sure all of these notes get out there for the public, for the meetings. So I will ask if there's any public participation. We do not have any members of the public present in the room, but if there is anybody online who would wish to speak. And I don't see any of the folks online. Oh, sorry. Amanda, you're going to jump in.
Yeah, sorry. I was struggling on my phone to find the raise hand. So I just wanted to...
Amanda Gordon, for the record.
Yes, thank you. 23 Golf Road. I just wanted to chime in and say that I would like to recommend strongly to both the Board of Ed and the Board of Selectmen that you consider putting out a list of salaries for all positions that are not included in any of the union contracts that are publicly available. There is a lot of misinformation out there. There is a lot of speculation. There are a lot of assumptions that we are hiding something and that there are secrets that cannot be known. This is public information. People can FOIA this information. And I would strongly recommend you don't let it get to that point, because then they're going to get it in whatever format already exists, as opposed to if you put a list out there, you can make sure it's pretty, you can make sure that it's understandable and that it includes FTEs. And, you know, this is something that folks in the public have been asking for years. While they don't come to the meetings and say it, it is all over social media, and there is a lot of disinformation that is spreading. And so I will once again recommend that both boards do that prior to the next referendum, if possible. And that's all I have to say tonight.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks.
And Jim Rupert, you have a question or response?
Just for informational purposes, the Board of Selectmen, all of the non-union salaries are in the budget documents that are online already. Those were presented to the Board of Selectmen during our budget deliberations. That doesn't mean that we can't put them in a list format, but the information is already out there publicly.
Yeah, I think if it's out there publicly and it's not in a format, as Amanda suggested, that's easily digestible, it would be prudent to put it into a format that would be easily digestible and readily available rather than having to go search for it.
Great. Where was it, Jim? Because I did look through the individual department budgets.
Yeah, we presented it as part of the budget presentation. So it's probably, again, it's probably not easy to find. Somebody would have to really search through the documents that have been uploaded. So it probably is, I would agree that it's probably not easy to find.
So okay. We should probably put it in the budget folders and have one document that's labeled Board of Selectmen employee salaries, and another similar one that's Board of Education employee salaries. Is that what my understanding is, Amanda?
Yes, just the ones that aren't in union contracts, because those people will have to take the time to find on their own, quite frankly.
Any other public comment? In that case, I will, seeing no other public comment, I will move on to our agenda
Yes.
of going to the ongoing business, and we'll have the presentation of referendum results. And it was a fairly resounding no vote. We had 599 to, was it 347?
97.
97. What, 97? So that leaves us with the discussion of, since the referendum failed, we now need to move on to item C, which is discuss and possibly act on budget revision referendum and setting a date for a special meeting after that referendum. So I will open the floor to discussion and the comments. I'll just start with the comments that I heard while I was at the polls were just people were just felt that the tax increase, I really didn't hear complaints so much about the individual budget so much as the tax increase that was associated with the budgets. And that was what they were mostly complaining about. And other than the facts that we changed the hours of the referendum, but I'm going to keep it on for. For this, that was what I heard from, the majority. So I don't know what other folks have heard. And the reason I'm bringing it up is just it may help influence our discussion as to what our next steps are. Other than the fact that people think we have lots of money hidden places.
Well, I can tell you it's not really in the realm of possibility to get to a 0% tax increase.
No, it's not. You'd have to cut
Right.
significant.
So, let's start working in reality.
Right. Well, our reality is sometimes different than others. So, that's the problem.
Just to follow up on, what Ben said is the reality is that in order to get to a 0% tax increase, we would have to cut the Board of Education budget to last year, plus the amount of the special ECS grant that they received, which is $107,000 and change. And then the rest of any cuts would come out of the Board of Selectmen's budget. So it would be a disproportionate, impact. Were we to do so?
So I didn't hear from many people, but I do recall when we had our public event that there was many people in the audience who were looking at 5%. They said at 5% we'll vote yes. So I'm not misspeaking, I hope, but
No, I only heard one
that's
person say
I don't
that.
remember hearing that. It's a resounding number.
And I seen
I
a
mean,
lot of heads.
it would be nice to
It
have,
was
but
the
it's not
only
the
number that I heard given,
right.
was
And
5%.
I will say at that, looking at what that means,
Right.
that is a significant cut to both budgets. And I'm most worried about what the education budget would look like after that, given other towns in Connecticut who have gone under 2% and seen significant challenges in their school system.
Well, I'm just bringing it up. Got to move
Yeah.
this forward. So, I mean, we're either aiming for, oh, are we going to do like we did last year or you did last year and drop $20,000 and go out and make people unhappy?
Yeah, I was going to
Hmm.
say, well, here's the options that we have is one is I have seen nothing from the Board of Education or from the Board of Selectmen to indicate that they're going to have any substantial monies left over at the end of the year. And any monies left over probably would be in the range of something moving the needle, maybe a tenth of a percent on the tax increase to, quarter of a percent, something in that range. So we don't really have any options of additional revenue coming in, whether it be in the form of, grants like this last minute ECS grant or within, unexpended funds from either board. So that leaves us with the option of cutting. And to Rodney's point is, how do you want to, do that? Because we have three more referenda left. And each one of those is going to cost about $4,500. And if we go into next year and do what we did last year and don't get the tax bills out until September 1st.
We did talk about that last night at the Board of Selectmen meeting too, and potentially
You're going to
getting
lose
an
60.
initial one out for July 1st, but we need to
Yeah,
talk about what that looks like.
right. But I'm just saying that if you don't do things the way we did last year, you'll lose
Right.
$60,000, about $50,000 to $60,000 of interest on top of three more refer three, you know, three just 3 to 5 more referenda. So that's almost $70,000. So that even if you did pass the budget at that point, you're starting off in the hole on that budget already.
Sounds familiar. Right.
Which would then reduce the amount that you would get with anybody on expended funds the next year. So you don't, you know, I don't know. And I agree with what you said, Rodney, is if you make a
Yeah.
minimal cut, it's going, people will be PO'd because, you know, we did that. So that's the balance, you know, that's what we have to work with.
If you say 20,000, you got a no vote from me. So that's just not a good angle at this point.
No, I
I
wouldn't think it is either.
no, I think we have to go with our comparative expenditure scenarios. I think we should stick to that because it's been available to the public, and I would expect if they're so concerned that they looked at this and they know what they're expecting for cuts. So it's not a big surprise, I wouldn't think.
I don't think it'll be a good surprise to some people, but for others, yes. And I just want to advocate for the Board of Ed side. They've already made a lot of changes, to get where they are at. And I don't support making big changes there
Quick question on that.
proportionally.
Could you
Okay.
expand on what for this year's budget versus the budget that was proposed for yesterday's referenda? How many positions would be cut between those two budgets?
There's been
Not even considered.
four positions already impacted.
Four.
So the kids are already taking a hit, and I think it's more fair to all the voting residents to feel it from the town budget side.
I also
Yeah.
think it's fair to note that the information that was presented was last time that Stephanie put together with the different options were a guideline for us and a reference point for our conversations, and not meant to give the public a roadmap to how we could get to where we're going to get to. It
Yeah.
wasn't my understanding that that was,
I think that
if the
makes sense.
first referendum fails, we're going to the second one. If I'm correct, and I think we should make sure we clarify that tonight so the public doesn't think that, oh, if we just fail this one, this is going to be the result, and then this is going to be the result, because this committee may decide on completely different numbers. Those numbers, if I'm not mistaken, were presented to us as a guide to guide our conversation and
Yeah,
not to
correct.
lay
Well,
out
I did not
and
feel
not to
like
lay
it
out a
was a
plan of
guide.
this is where
I
we're
felt
going to
it
go,
was a
correct?
guide as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my understanding was that it was a guide as well,
Yeah.
that these were just some ranges. These are to get us thinking and what the
Right.
conversation is. And
Well,
regardless, go on.
with equal reductions between the boards. Now, I'm going to advocate for our board because any additional that we lose, we got to find. And ultimately, if there's big reductions, the town has to eat it and not the school. Is that correct?
Yeah,
And
if
I
you
don't think
go,
that's right.
basically, you can't, we, the schools cannot go below last year's, cannot go below last year's approved budget plus the $107,000 in change that was in the ECS grant. So were we to go?
That 107 doesn't count towards the MBR.
It doesn't reduce it.
It doesn't reduce it, but I'm just
Correct.
saying it gets added. We.
Yes, but you couldn't reduce 107, the MBR less 107.
No,
No,
he's
what
saying
I'm
you couldn't
saying.
reduce MBR plus 107.
Correct.
Okay,
That's what I'm
that's
saying
your
is
yeah, we're saying the same
you go
thing.
to
Yep. Yep.
MBR plus 107 and change
Yep. That's correct.
at the most.
Correct.
And then anything beyond that comes disproportionately out of the Board of Selectmen. I mean, for example, we could cut all of that from the Board of Selectmen tonight. There are no state guidelines on it. We could take any amount that you wanted to and take it out of the Board of Selectmen's budget. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying it's a different playing field that we are limited just by state law as to where the cuts come from. And also bear in mind, if you do start taking too much from the Board of Selectmen, then you start getting rid of support services that the schools need, like keeping the roads cleared in the winter, because it's all great if the schools have their, their budget, but and keep their parking lots cleared. But if we don't have the equipment and supplies to keep the roads in shape, then the kids don't get to school. I'm just, saying that, just painting a broad picture. I'm not saying that's what will happen, but I'm just using it to. You get served, the schools in the town support each other in ways. And so we have to just take that into account to look at the whole picture of what we're doing.
I think that type of how the funds were distributed is up to the Board of Selectmen to decide how, just like the Board of Ed just gets their amount and then they decide how things get distributed for the programs for the students. And knowing the contractual obligations, you can't break contract. It's already getting really, we've already, there's already been program cuts to make up for those other increases in the Board of Ed.
And so, Rodney, do you have any similar, Rodney and Jim, similar contractual obligations? Because you have union employees, you also have contracts with the state for state police, you have contracts for garbage collection and so forth, correct?
Yeah, we absolutely have the same effect going on. It's the we just represent the taxpayers and the services we offer them. And they vote, and we have to kind of look out for their well-being in all these different services that we're offering. What do we start cutting? Who knows? But I guess when the game is over, then we'll know how much money we don't have. But
Well, this isn't a game, but
for example, the trash collection, we can't do anything with that this year, but it would definitely be on next year's because we'd have to make all kinds of changes, maybe negotiate with other towns. Who knows? I don't know. It's but it's
and they're
you can
really
only.
tough choices, and I get that. And we only have a 2.15% increase on this. So it looks like the residents aren't really wanting to keep up with everything we're doing, especially if we don't have the revenue to cover. So something we have needs to,
Yeah, but you don't know if they're saying they don't want to keep up with the town services or the Board of Ed services. That's not a known fact.
But if
We only
budget-wise, our
we know
overall budget, they're saying that's too much. So
that's correct.
right.
Right.
So I'm advocating to keep more money on the Board of Ed side.
Well, you'll keep
Because
more money on it if we do a proportionate cuts anyway. So if you take
that's right.
one third out of the Board of Selectmen and two thirds out of you still have more than they do because you're working in a larger pot than the Board of Selectmen are. So
So
their cuts are proportionately less than what the Board of Selectmen's cuts are if you look at the entire budget. Because your
correct.
budget's twice the size.
Correct.
So everybody's in, basically everybody's in a really bad place is what I'm just saying. And there is no pretty or easy way out. And it's going to be like this next year.
So we know 20,000 is an insult. Where do we want to start? 100, 150? I'm
I have
throwing
a question.
something out there for discussion.
I have a question first, Rodney.
Yeah.
How does this chart take into account the 107 from ECS funding?
It's included in the revenue then
So
only.
this is all we
So
get.
we could reduce revenue by 107
And it goes up.
and it'd be, if we don't account for it anywhere, it would act as a surplus. It would just hit our books and then be in surplus for the following
And you
year.
have to be careful with where you take things out and put them in because
Right.
so let
The
me
funds
finish
aren't
my
exactly
thought, then we
there.
have a separate discussion over here.
No, he's asking the same question I'm trying to get at that I'm not understanding.
The
Like,
107 is not in this.
it's not, it's in the mill
It
rate
was in the first table.
calculation.
It's
It
included.
doesn't, the 107 does not reduce the cuts for Board of Ed. in this table. We include it as additional revenue, which in turn reduces the mill rate.
So that is what's been missed.
Yeah.
And we did the same thing with the 30,000 for the Board of Selectmen. That was the choice that the committee, Finance Committee made last week, was to go with 2 weeks ago, rather, was to apply that as revenue. So we can change that if we chose to, but bear in mind that the public is focusing on the tax increase. So even whatever we do, if we reduce we can do things in a way that reduces the budget amount, which is required by charter. But if you do it in certain ways, you increase the mill rate, which the public doesn't want. So you have two things to balance: is what's the budget amount, because we have to cut that by the charter, and you have to do that in a way that doesn't also increase the taxes, because you can do that by how you assign revenue. You can increase the taxes, so you have to just be careful with it. Because we wound up in that situation last year where we cut and the tax rate went up.
Mm-hmm. If I remember, I thought when we looked at this last, yes, there were two scenarios. One was with us using the money and one with us not using the money.
And we
correct?
We picked the one on the bottom, which was using the money.
No,
there
were a couple different conversations happening in the room. But what was modeled was the second scenario had it as revenue captured for purposes of reducing the mill rate.
And that's
there was commentary that we were kind of just banking the money, but that's not what was modeled when we were looking at it.
Oh, my understanding was that it was being put in reserve.
And that's what it has in the.
Yeah, because Danae, you picked the one that was the 6.22% increase in the mill rate. And that was the one that we use this as additional revenue.
And if you look at that heading, it should say applied revenue.
Only to the mill rate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought this was using state money and not using the state money.
Yeah, it uses it differently. So the top one applies to revenue and reduces the cuts on the expenditure side.
Okay.
And that's in the footnotes in the first.
So the Board of Ed gets 107 2 weeks ago. You take that 107 as revenue, and then we got cut an additional 325. So
not an additional 325. It was the difference between 325 and the 308 that we were previously talking about.
Okay, on top of the 107, though.
Correct.
But the
purpose... No, the revenue, you guys are receiving the revenue still. We counted it as revenue. The taxpayers are receiving the benefit in the mill rate reduction, but you're still getting it as additional revenue as ECS funds, and it's recommended we put in a separate fund.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Right.
So you're still getting...
I was under the understanding if we were going to be using that as revenue, our reduction would have been the 325 less the 107. That's what I'm...
That's what I understand.
Yeah. And that's why we went back to clarify with what the actual budgeted amounts you were being given was, and we had that second meeting. Because we didn't put that into the record the first time. We picked a line that had that included in it, but we didn't specifically enumerate them. So basically, like I said, there's no more money coming in, and it's a matter of what do you feel is the budget that will pass that will not screw the future of the town.
So just to make it clear on the recording for whoever's listening, whoever will be listening in the future, that Board of Ed budget already includes the 107 from the state used. It is not going anywhere that is being used elsewhere. It is going towards the school already.
Yeah. It's not in the budget. It's not reducing their cuts.
But it's reducing the mill rate, which was the intended impact of the ECS funding. Okay.
And it has to be accounted for by the schools per the guidelines we got from the OPM. The auditor's going to take a look at it. The schools have to demonstrate they spent it and what they spent it on.
The question had been asked elsewhere, so I wanted to make sure there was an answer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so getting back to it, there's you got to make a hard choice tonight. And the follow-up is when you get to the point where you can't go any lower and you don't want to, you're going to start peeing off people. So you'll have to be prepared to deal with that and do it. And how much do you want to toe the line? So a bunch of things.
I'm going to say that line C, which is a reduction, a total reduction of 50,398 from our existing stance, is not enough, and that we should go to D.
I'm going to say that this chart is more of a guideline than it is exact numbers that we need to be using.
Right? Okay, well, let's pick a guideline that we want to work with.
So what do you want to end up with the only number that I've heard from anybody, and we know that it passed last year, was that we had roughly a 5% tax increase.
Question, if we can model an additional scenario.
Yeah.
Can we make that total reductions column to be 100,000 less than the yellow highlight and see what that looks like on paper?
What total without reduction?
Without the 38,000?
Somewhere between here.
538.
Here. So. Okay. So it would be 638 rather than 538.
So you're looking for another, for $100,000.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of my concerns when we brought these tables up, is that they then set standards for what could be possible. And I don't think every scenario on here is possible or feasible.
Correct.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I guess to make it more clear, that far right column then becomes 100,000 is what I'm asking for. I didn't realize that was over there.
Just need a few minutes.
Yeah, give her a couple of minutes, because we're also going to need to get make sure we understand the reduction. By if we do them proportionately, the reduction to Board of Selectmen as well as the Board of Ed.
So that'll leave us in the 5.7 range. Or even lower, 5.6.
Yeah, it should put us in the mid-5.6s.
Which I'd be fine going out with.
Give Stephanie a second so she's not being pressured.
Yeah. No.
Just do the Jeopardy.
Yeah. That would be even worse.
Yes.
I just think the 70,000 that we lost last year is a big figure to think about.
Stay ahead of it.
Well, yeah, we should stay ahead. And we had that conversation partially last night too, Rodney, of when we set the dates for taxes to go out. Like, if we get close to that July 1st date and haven't set a budget yet, we should consider what we can do to send something out for July 1st and then set something.
We can set a temporary mill rate.
We started that discussion with Lori, actually, happened today. Not sure that it financially makes sense to do it based on what we would end up losing and not collecting. We'd be losing $8,000 by sending out a supplemental invoice, just because
Of the cost of communication.
The cost of communication, plus I think there's a below a certain amount, we don't have to collect.
$5 or something.
Yeah, yeah. But she sent a whole list of considerations that we're evaluating.
I was trying not to distract, and I did the opposite.
Okay, I couldn't help it. Just leave.
How much lower could we feasibly bring CAVA?
I think it was another
40, wasn't it?
No, I think it was 60.
60?
Because I think it was 120 before, and we went halfway.
Because we're at 72.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
and we're limited to how far we can go down.
Right.
And you're just pushing it out. It's going to come back twofold next time, because the equipment's getting older, the maintenance on stuff, it's really irresponsible. So,
and we've been doing it for years, because that's one of the first things that we do to appease the voters, is to do that. And it makes sense if you want to pass the budget, but it doesn't make sense for sustainability long term.
And every time somebody works on their budget, that's one of the big things they start cutting. So from the start of the budget season, it's been cut quite a bit. And we were fortunate to have a bunch of leftover money from previous projects that came in under budget.
While she's doing that, can we discuss a date for that meeting?
The next meeting?
Yeah. Or do we need to go sequentially here? Like, no, can we jump to B and then come back?
I don't see any reason we can just, okay. We can move ahead in the agenda while she's doing that because the date's not going to change. It's really the time.
So the next referendum would be what, June 2nd? Again?
So we need to meet June 3rd.
June 3rd. I mean, this 5:30 wasn't ideal in terms of trying to get through middle of Colchester peak hour. Oh, there was? That's that's why. Okay. But I think the 5:30 isn't a bad time overall.
I just have to be out of here by 7 because I have another meeting at 7.
I'm available on the 3rd, so how does that work for other folks?
Make a motion to the special meeting date after the second referendum to June 3rd at 5:30 p.m.
I'll second that. No.
So motion made by David Cole, seconded by Rodney Fournier to have the second meeting, special meeting on June 3rd at 5:30. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes by all voting members. I'm abstaining and there are no nays. So,
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I won't be able to be there on the 3rd, but you will have two representatives from the Board of Selectmen, as well as potentially our CFO.
So we got the date. You want to go on communication while Stephanie works? We can move on to item number 4. And just to clarify for the public, we're asking Stephanie Smigala to run the numbers for what would be the cuts to Board of Ed, Board of Selectmen if we reduce the total budget by an additional 100,000. So what we're doing while she's figuring that is moving on to the next item on the agenda, and we'll loop back to her.
What falls under this communication line item?
Whatever we need to that relates to talking.
Right, it wasn't different than anything.
I put together a template for us to track the referendum changes. I modeled it after one we used, I believe, last year, just updated the format. So if you guys want to take a look on
marking. So this being the one sheeter that we could present to show.
So the top essentially captures the total expenditures just so folks have that to anchor their,
you add a new column in each time for the proposed FY 2027.
So how
do you change that for the new number?
So how it worked last year, there was a new page for every referendum. Okay. So essentially there were, I think, 5, but there, I mean, ultimately 6. So like this one would be for today, noted that it failed. And at the bottom, there's a summary of the changes that we agreed on after that failed. And then the second page would be referendum 2. Here's essentially a replica of this with the updated numbers. And then at the bottom would be this, the summary of the changes.
Another first page that would have the original proposed budgets from each board so that people can see really where the board started from.
Agreed.
And then they got to this first referendum number based on our recommendations and our approvals, and then where we're going from there. So they don't think these aren't starting.
I wouldn't even say different first page. Like this should just be a one pager. It's confusing having multiple pages because then it's like, okay, am I voting on this budget or am I voting on this budget? Like those numbers that are at the end are the ones that matter, but looking at two numbers, you can get cross-eyed just looking at a sheet of numbers. So just having it be one sheet of like, here's the most important information for this referendum.
That'll just show the change from referendum one to referendum two.
As simple as possible.
This is what the people liked last time and wanted it again. I give credit to Amanda Gordon for setting it up.
I was about to say, I wasn't sure if it was enough.
No, it was Amanda.
I just think it's good information to start with the original budgets that each area started with, and then they can really see where it's gone.
They just want to know what happened between them, to be honest with you. They don't care where you started. They want to know, what did you do from this one to the last one?
Right, but they need to understand that even from before this one that failed, it was an even higher number.
But it wasn't what we presented, and they don't care. I'm just...
Well, it was technically presented, because that's what the number that was presented for the hearing.
Yeah.
Right.
No, we could... It's presented for the hearing, but the one that they care about is the one that they got to vote on, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's where you get into, like...
And I want to just keep it simple.
We also want to take credit for the changes that were made between the first number that was presented to the public and the number that was presented on June 2nd. I think that's where today's coming from.
Well, you could do another one if you wanted. Then you could do initial proposal to referendum one. And then you could do referendum one.
I think that's what
you're
getting.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
The people were upset and insulted last year, the last couple referendums, that it was a small amount.
$25,000 twice in a row.
Right. 25 or 20.
I thought it was 25.
So I think kind of what you're pointing at is people were upset by that, but nobody was, it didn't appear that people were thankful or appreciative of the large cuts that were made before that. So I think they were in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Even this first one between the hearing and this budget was what, a couple hundred thousand dollars?
Right.
So then it sounds like what you do is just another one, initial proposal to referendum one, and then changes from referendum one to
even
referendum
just change
two.
The orientation on this and get rid of some of that middle numbers that, like, quite frankly, the big numbers are the ones that are going to matter
the top
on voting day, right?
The top box,
the bottom. Box,
add more columns.
Talk box, and then you could do the summary.
Right. Agree.
And get rid of the middle.
Or move the middle
move
to
the middle.
Second page.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what?
Somewhere. That, yeah, I mean,
just get rid of
it. It's too many numbers.
It is just a lot of numbers that don't really mean, like, you can get hung up on those numbers and they mean something, just not necessarily like a important number.
Do you want to keep the mill rate percentage change that's in the middle, though?
We did
probably.
Get asked about that.
Yes.
If it's just mill rate percentage increase,
we'll have a markup, not to worry.
And it could be added to the, actually could be added to the top box.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, correct.
Right. So you would get rid of this chunk we're saying.
Right. Just take that.
We can get rid of
all of it, but just reorient.
He's taking that.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah,
that's your point. You just do it this way, right?
Great.
Someone's pen.
Yeah, so just take that, move it up to here, and then take this, move it landscape, and then you can spread out the columns or add columns and show the whole
picture.
Like, lineage of the events.
You want me to share my screen?
Might need to buy a couple.
So we done with which one? Are you sharing your screen?
The modeling.
The modeling.
Are we ready to move back?
So why don't we just finish up what you're doing here?
One pencil, three pencils.
And then we'll go over to what you modeled.
I mean,
get the Dixon pencils. You've got to get the Ticonderoga.
So as soon as you're finished, Mr. Coles, we will move on to Stephanie's modeling of the proposed $100,000 cut.
I can be done for now.
All right.
This will be a later conversation.
So we're going to go.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of our clerk and the public, we are now going back to, we're leaving communications and going back to the discussion on the number C, 3CA, budget revisions for second referendum, and Stephanie Smigala has modeled what a $100,000 cut might look like.
Just real quick, hopefully nobody's windows were open.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's pouring rain.
Yeah, it's pouring rain. All right.
Oh, that's you. I was trying to change it on my screen. I'm like, no, I minimized it. Okay. So same table that we're looking at previously, I added a scenario F.
which aims for the total reductions. Sorry, I can hide some of these.
Just in that description in F, can you make that say 100K rather than 1 million?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
It'd be nice if we could, but I don't think the town people like us then.
Yeah. So total reductions is now 638,185, which is an additional $100,000 reduction as compared to what was in the referendum yesterday. So we're looking at a increase of 5.7% on the mill rate.
So it's approximately 0.5% reduction.
Yeah.
I would call that significant, 0.5%.
Yeah.
So the town reductions based on that is 50,000?
So for modeling, I just did 50 and 50 evenly. We can do that however you guys would like.
I think it should be proportionate to the size of the budgets.
So 30 and 60 for 35 and 65 or something?
Roughly.
Whatever.
I think they should be more proportionate to the size of the health of the state thinks we need.
Right.
Of the what?
The proportionate to the funding that the state gave us, because that has some math behind it to determine what amount the Board of Ed needed versus what the town needed to be able to help the taxpayers.
Well, that balance was 30 versus 107.
Yeah. So, yeah. 78.21?
Yeah, 78.41. Versus 21.59.
So then you're reflecting that.
So I can modify the 100. I could, yeah. So it would be.
Well, 78,000 and 21,000.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So.
That's what in the reverse, right? So you would cut the 78 from the town and the 21 from the Board of Ed?
No.
No.
No. 78 from the...
Okay.
78 from Board of Ed and the other from...
Based on this recommendation, yeah. We can do something else.
And that's based on the state money that we got.
Correct. So
we got 30 and they got, okay, 107.
That's 78. Maybe from my working spreadsheet.
Take your time, Steph.
No, nothing like a...
No pressure, but
yeah,
I did remind you I didn't need while everyone's to get watching. Angry.
We've seen what mistakes do, so we'd rather take your time.
Take your time.
Exactly.
Double check it.
So that's what it went. 15.
What was the percent we did if I budget instead?
Sorry, I think I did that. G27. G. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, you do.
I'm happy this is you because my math ain't mathing in my head.
Do we want to go back to communication for a little while?
Sure. That makes more sense. I think I got it.
So the Board of Ed is 79. Yeah. And we're 21. Oh, that's your check. Got it.
Yeah.
I double checked it. Mortgage.
And while we're debating this, could you make another copy of this? We don't have that here. Wasn't in the package. I forgot to
any discussion on what we're seeing.
It just printed up here, and we'll go get it.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
So that drops us down 0.5% in the mill
right,
rate.
Right, it's actually 0.52 to be.
Yep. I think lower is better, but we're bored. Who has another opinion?
Well, I think, I mean, lower would be great if it didn't mean cutting programming for town residents.
Get it. I got it. Yep.
I mean, I think 100,000 is a good start. No, I mean, it's not great, but I don't.
And we still have the
less than 6% increase. It's.
I think if we go beyond 100,000 cut, now that we've cut the town and the Board of Ed, the next cut's logically got to be Kappa at this point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
we're down below 50%, below a 50% increase from what we originally asked for, right? So, like the number that went to hearing, if you went to 50%, we're below that line,
right?
I think 0.5% is a substantial.
I think that's a significant
number. I mean, to me, almost, I feel like, I hope the residents hear that and think, wow, 0.5% is quite a bit, maybe even more so than the dollar amount. Because when they go to the polls, they're thinking, what was my percent increase in the mill rate? So 0.5% is a lot. That's a big deal. So I think that's significant. Yeah. I think that's. Mm-hmm.
We need you to convince 102 no voters of that.
Well, you actually want a few.
We're getting more yes voters.
You want a few more than that, so we don't have to do a recount.
And we just
okay.
You want
it? Well, also just reminding people. I think, you know, the Board of Selectmen, I'd like to think we on the Board of Education side did a nice job at the beginning. We presented our budgets in public hearing to remind everybody of what the tax dollars go towards in Bolton. And I know last year, I think they got lost a little bit in the narrative around the budget in the budget season. And I think it's a good time maybe to just remind everybody the reason why these budgets are what they are is because we provide tremendous value to the town and we provide awesome services for the town. We have a school district that is, people are moving to town for the schools. People are staying in town for the schools. If we lose that, then I think we lose a lot of the appeal and the value that comes with the town of Bolton. If we start cutting town services anymore, then, you know, all I hear is people really happy about the snow removal in the wintertime and the way the parks are maintained and all those things are great. They do cost money. And so I think, like, I just remind people the value they get for the tax dollar in Bolton is pretty significant.
Yeah. If I could echo one piece of that for a second, one of the things that I remember from this winter is driving down East Lyme, I drive through 5, 6, 7 different towns. One of the days with driving back was a day that we were cleaning up, and Bolton by far had the best roads of any of the towns that I drove through. And, you know, not having the biggest resources, I mean, I drive through Colchester, I drive through Hebron, I drive through Waterford, like, you know, Bolton doesn't have the most resources, and yet we've somehow figured out how to get the cleanest road. Yep. And that's one of the things that, you know, provides value in Bolton.
We did a way better job than Providence did, and their mayor is paying for that now.
Yep.
So I just don't want people to lose sight of what these tax dollars are going towards. And the more we reduce, I know by the Board of Ed side, the more we reduce, the less services we're allowed for kids, the less offerings we have for students, the less extracurricular activities kids will have access to, the nice class sizes that people move to Bolton for and really enjoy. All those things are at risk when we keep reducing the budget. And I understand that the public has voted and said that they want it reduced even more. I get that, but I just think we need to keep that in mind also.
And I also want to ask everybody who is listening now live and who's going to listen to the recording and who is going to read the minutes, is that we have approximately 1,000 out of 3,800 voters making a decision for the rest of the folks who just will not get up and go out and vote. Some of them have said they don't care. They're fine with the way things are. And if you feel that way, then get out and please vote. And again, if you don't feel that you're happy with the way things are and you're not voting, get out and vote. I would be much more comfortable with 3,800 voters coming to a decision, yes or no, than I am with 1,000 people, pretty much the same ones who come out every year. And this is what, is frustrating about it, because some folks leave the dirty work to others, as they've put it. And I think you need to get up and own your yes votes and own your no votes instead of assigning them to other people to do for you. That is what I'm asking you to do, folks out there listening, is just please get out and vote, because you do make a difference. It's a small town and every vote does count, because all it takes is one vote either way to make the decision of which way we go with this budget. So literally every one vote does count.
Is this the point where I make a motion?
If you wish to, sir.
Hold on, we're pulling up wording. That was what was going on in the background here, too.
Because we're going to need to make a motion
We
for
need to
the.
make three motions, right?
Well, just to make sure, we need to make a motion. We have to set the individual budget for Board of Selectmen, the individual budget for Board of Ed. We also need to get what it is for debt service and so forth. Make
Oh,
sure
there's
we
more.
cover. Cover each of those topics, and then those should add up to what the total amount is. Because we didn't do that the last time. We just voted the entire amount.
I think it's a good time to point out, though, that now we are coming to a point where we're going to have an increase of less than 2% of what we had this year is what we're
For the town expenses.
But this just highlights that the real issue here, and based off of what Ross said too, from people who really just see the numbers, 6% increase, they don't see the individual budgets as the real issue here. So it brings it back to us that the real issue here isn't the responsible budgets, quote unquote, that we're putting out. It's a revenue issue that we need to have more revenue. And we really have to think about ways this year, in the next couple of years, to bring that up so that we don't have to keep cutting our services. Because when I see people, online that say 0%, well, then please come to the meetings and tell us what you want to cut. Because 0% does not mean that we keep things the way they are this
Or
year.
come to the meetings and say, how do we get more money? How do we get more money into the town? Because we can work on fixing that over the next year. We can't fix it overnight. And having only recently developed an understanding of why that came about, it's not going to get changed in one budget cycle, particularly if the budget cycle's already started. Like, even if it had come about in November, it would have been difficult to track from there.
Can I don't know if this is possible, but can we hold off on the numbers and set them at tomorrow night's meeting to give the public a chance to come to our public comment tomorrow night and share their views on what
No,
this would be?
you could, but I wouldn't advise it, just from the timing with getting ballots and everything else ready. Because the plan was to get the you get the ballots. We have to do the question tonight. We set up the ballots and order them tomorrow. They're delivered next week by Monday, and then the testing is done Tuesday. And I have to get the absentee ballots over to Liz as soon as possible, the town clerk. So ideally, you do want to do this tonight, because it's not going to be any better tomorrow.
And we have a holiday in there.
Memorial Day.
That's right too. So you're right. We're not going to you want to get the ballots if we can on Friday, so we can test on Tuesday. Thank you, Rodney.
One other thing we should come back to in communications, but I'll mention now, is
No,
the
let's
importance
do
of
let's I don't want to
absentee.
mix up.
That's fine.
Bring it back. I
I
don't
can
want
go
to
from.
cut you off. I want to just finish this part, because
Yeah.
so
No,
we
I just
don't.
wanted to add on onto his to touch on the importance of absentee voting, but we can get to there in communications.
And make this large enough so you can see clearly.
Thank you. So we make an motion on each individual line item.
Is this going to be six motions, or we do one motion with all six numbers?
You could do one motion with the all six numbers if you wanted, that we can make a motion to set each one of those and then the total that they come to for the budget.
Sure.
Okay.
So whoever wants to do that, Mr. Fournier, did you want to, since you started there and we kind of cut you off?
That's how I move things along. I'd like to make a, let's see. Now this is, I'd like to set the, make a motion to use $26,796,962 for the second budget referendum, which would include a total of $17,209,402 for the town, the total Board of Ed, and $7,423,598 for the total town proper, $50,000 for the total contingency fund, $1,421,514 for the total debt service, and $692,448 for the total capital improvements.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
So motion made by Rodney Fournier, seconded by Melissa Whelan. Discussion, since we already beat this to death. I am seeing no further discussion by the members present. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, and I abstain. So the motion carries unanimously by those who voted. So now, if you want, we can do the question because we actually have to.
Thank you, Stephanie.
We now actually have to have another motion.
Do you have it printed?
You want to read that one? You could just fill in the correct number down there. You should let me fill it, and then you can check it or you can write
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like the check method.
All right, let me go and write this down up here. So the total amount for the question that goes on the ballot is $26,796,962. And then you may read this, Mr. Coles, and make sure
the
that
whole text,
I
right?
did not. That's the whole text. To make sure I get the number. Did I get the number correct with what's up on the screen?
96, 962. Yeah, that looks correct.
Okay.
All right. I make a motion to have the second budget referendum question ask, shall the annual budget for the town of Bolton, Connecticut for the fiscal year 2027, as recommended by the Finance Committee, in the amount of $26,796,962 be adopted?
Second.
So motion made by David Cole, seconded by Melissa Whelan. Discussion. Shouldn't be any because we already approved the number. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Me. So it passes unanimously by those voting members present. Take that back and sign it, and then I'll bring that to the town clerk tomorrow.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
There's been some discussion around adding questions to the polls.
So it's under communication.
Yeah.
Now.
So
move on to communication.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've talked about before is like the town like Hebron has actually 8 questions on their ballot, 4 budget questions and 4 provisional questions. The concern I think that's been brought up previously about having multiple questions on the ballot is if one gets approved and the other doesn't, you're using the same amount of money to have a second referendum compared to the first, regardless of the number of questions that are on the ballot. So is there a benefit of actually breaking it out, or is it something that you know, the town wants to continue doing one question?
You could also do the one question on the budget, and then you could ask, you can't do a from what I read, it's my training for registrar, you can't do a simple ask a question referendum in Connecticut, like according to case law, but you could put questions on there associated with the, you know, the dollar amount.
The provisional numbers.
Yeah.
Or the provisional questions.
You could ask like, so did you feel that the school budget was, if you voted yes, or
yeah, so you could have multiple provisional questions,
yeah.
But only have one asking questions.
Asking action question.
I would feel more comfortable with that than having multiple budget questions, because then you run the risk of having to rerun just one budget and having a whole election or a whole referendum around one budget.
Correct.
Or one number.
Passed and then one dragged on and
around.
Right. Yeah, and there's.
I also think that right now your charter requires that the Board of Ed and town budget be voted on as a single question.
Yeah,
okay.
It does. To my that's my recollection as well. Jill, we can double check on that, but that's how I recall.
Charter.
So we could certainly do that, and I would recommend that we, if you want to do that, let's do it after this one. Get together, figure out what it is. It's easy enough to have the machines reprogrammed to do it.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a one-time charge, about $500,
and
then you could use that for whatever other. You can change, as long as you don't move where the ovals are.
Sure.
You can change the wording of the questions from year to year or whatever.
So like, yeah. Right. So the other thing about ballots that I want to expand on is the
importance. So is that something that we want to consider doing? Then we can add that. I'll add that to our to-do list.
So another important thing is the importance of absentee voting. The being out of town on a referendum is not a death sentence by any means. It's not something that you can't vote and can't have your voice heard. I've voted by absentee before, and actually will need to for the June 2nd ballot as well, because I'm going to be on work travel. So it's, you know, it's an important right to be able to use, and the town hall is open actually for different hours than the ballot or the voting location is open. So.
And the state just passed, and I believe the governor signed either yesterday or today, the no excuse absentee voting law. So in the past, the absentee voting was technically limited to you are out of town for some reason, you're on military duty, you're sick and can't get there, your religious beliefs prevent you from, you know, traveling or doing work, you know, whatever on the day of the vote. But now there's no reason whatsoever. You need to, so that would apply to this, you know, referenda as well.
Great.
There's days the town hall is open late. There's days the town hall is open earlier than the polling location would be. So,
yep.
So, Ross, you might be able to expand on this. In terms of getting the absentee ballot, you can request it without coming to the town hall personally, correct?
You can call up the town clerk and request it.
Okay.
You might be, and you can get it from, they can get it mailed to you.
Yep.
Or you can come in and pick it up.
So I bring that up because there's people on social media talking about how they may not be able to even get to the town hall during business hours. But if you have a lunch break, give the town hall a call
and
get the ballot in the mail, and you can get it mailed back to the town hall, correct?
You could even, yes.
You
can drop it off because we have the box out there that's open. The other option is if there's even an emergency absentee ballot that you can get on election day, but it requires several different trips because someone physically has to come and pick it up at the town hall, has to take it to the person if they're not the one.
Yeah,
you know, they have to take it to the person who can't get to the polls. And then that has to be brought, you know, signed there, then brought back. So you have several trips to do because the application's filled out. Then you get the ballot, then you do this and that. It's several trips back and forth, but it still is even possible on the day of voting.
I quite frankly think it's an underutilized tool that the town offers and see it used more.
Nope, it's definitely there, and it's been expanded as of, I believe, yesterday or today.
In terms of other communication, this is what we were discussing over here when you were so putting that landscape and having some of the meat in the center cut out.
So what David's talking about for the sake of our
club. Oh, sorry.
Can't see the things being passed as we're looking.
Why don't
you bring it up on the screen again, Stephanie, and that way it'll be on the public record as well.
So can I make a short plea while we're on hold?
I guess you can. As long as it's a topic that's on the special meeting agenda.
Which is taxes going up. I would just like to say that we have a social services department in the town, and it would be a great thing if we could start seeing some influx of money that could help these people who won't be able to pay the increase. I don't know how that would work, but if we can increase the income of the social services to help these people, they're voters.
So it's basically you're looking for contributions to help with social services.
Yeah,
which I think is fair to ask for, because that's a communication that we can do as well.
Yep.
So I'll add that to our to-do list, is how do we get that more publicized.
So what we're talking about is putting this landscape and keeping that box in the top, adding columns for each of the proposed and then referenda. So there would be a column between FY26 and proposed FY27 that represents the number that went to the hearing the first time. Well, I guess it was technically both times, because that's what we approved. Or had discussed between the two, and show the number that was discussed at both hearings, the number that then was proposed for referendum one, FY27, mm-hmm. then it would be the number that would be proposed for referendum two, and somehow call that out, that this is the one you're voting on. And then bring the percent changes down from the bottom and mill rate up to the bottom of those columns, just to show another line of this is what this means for mill rate of both town and tax, or town vehicle.
Okay.
And that gets rid of some of the numbers in the middle that may be helpful, but may be confusing, and potentially put those on a second sheet. That way they're still there, but not necessarily in the focal point when you're looking just at this one pager.
I don't even know if we need them.
I would just get rid of them.
Just keep it one sheet.
That's fine.
So if I may, I know it's tough for folks on the phone, but that's what you're thinking. So I took 3431 and then the motor vehicle 3246 underneath.
You wouldn't even need to keep those first three. So it would just be the mill percent change.
Oh, just the mill percent.
Just the percent change. I think all the voters are going
to
boil it down to.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
And I got this question today, so I'll ask while we're here on that motor vehicle, so that percent goes up to the cap of the state, right? So then would that open us up to next year being in that scenario where we were a few years ago, where we're getting some supplemental funding because we're at the maximum of the vehicle mill rate?
It's fiscal year 28.
Yeah, so it'd be for FY28, but it would be something for the year after that would then help us, similar to as it has from FY24.
Which is something that we have to then start working into the forecast and making it much more obvious.
But I was asked by someone who sees these all the time, so I can guess that most townspeople aren't aware of that either.
Yeah.
But that does that does assume that the state doesn't change that.
Yeah,
they're thinking. Understood, just would hope that it's
all things same.
Well, this is like we said, the reason that you have a dashboard with these different forecasting tools, so that as they change, we're aware and able to adjust for. So
I think there would be an uprising from other towns too if that changed. Thank you.
Because all it does is just move the tax from one class of property to another.
And there's going
to
be another.
I think it's a great question, though. It's good to have that publicly asked so that everybody understands the answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, David, for bringing it up.
And unfortunately, there's another reval coming up in 2 years.
Yeah, which is what we were, Stephanie and I were talking about too, because we have to have that worked into. So this is something we're going to
actually question on that, since we're already talking about being at the cap of the vehicle. So if, let's say, reval in 2 years.
Yeah.
This is a completely proposed scenario, nothing real to it. If we get the reval, and then the very first budget thereafter, we put the vehicle rate at the max and then only adjust the property rate to be something different. Is that a possibility, or would we need to set the vehicle mill rate and the property mill rate to be the same?
The property, if you're at the cap with both, that's okay. If you go above the cap, only the real property goes up. If you go below the cap, you can do whatever you want with both of them. You could leave the automobiles up at 32 and change.
So you could leave the automobiles up
higher than the Higher than the real estate tax. Stephanie and I just looked at the statute because that was a question. And I asked her because we were going by what we thought. And I don't think that sounds like my car. I hit the button in my pocket. Let's try that.
I would have thought the motor vehicle had to go as low as you did underneath the 32 point whatever.
I think that's why it was a question. So
yeah, that's what it's... See, that's what I thought too, Rodney. And I said, and Stephanie thought the same thing. And I said, that's nice to think, but let's go look at the statute and find out. And that's where it said once it goes below 32, they don't have to be the same by law. 32
being the cap.
30, whatever, 32.
Yeah, 32.5 or whatever it is.
It's
32.46.
Yeah, technically, it's the cap or higher when. For if it's that the cap, then they both have to be the same. If it's below the cap, they can be whatever.
Okay.
Above the cap, rather, stasis.
Yep.
And then regarding the reval, Rodney, this is where I think we need to start getting Carol a little bit more involved with this because she's going to have to keep us appraised of what it looks like the market's doing for the housing on a year-by-year basis so that we can work that into a projection for mill rate calculation. Because otherwise we're going to be blindsided when we get to the reval. Because
it's going to be like last year all over again.
Because like last year, everybody knew that the rates were going up over the years because of COVID and people moving out to the suburbs and buying things, but we never talked about what that impact would be until we saw it. And then at the same time, we lost the supplement that we were getting because of the rebate on the motor vehicle taxes. So we need to start working that in.
Kathy, I'm trying to talk.
But in theory, wouldn't our concern be it going the property value shifting from commercial to from residential, because ultimately we end up with the same thing. The value may go up and the mill rate goes down, but there's always the same cash flow.
No, but that's the issue. So if the mill rate goes up and the value goes down and you're now down back at like, let's say 29 as a mill rate, then you're far further away from the motor vehicle cap, which means you're further away from that rebate as the delta between your motor vehicle and your property tax. But,
Rodney also brings up a good point too, because we need to keep an eye on
commercial,
the commercial versus the private property, and what's the percentage, because the more high value businesses you get in, the fact that they're a greater percentage of the grand list, they were going to lower the tax burden effectively on, individual homeowners.
So, for example, like
when I lived
fire on 85, potentially bring one of those businesses out of town.
Yeah,
being a high value business.
Yeah, I was thinking more like when I lived in Waterford, when we had Millstone Nuclear Power Plant, and when I first was there, it paid for 95% of the taxes, and my tax bill was ridiculously small. It was only a couple $100 a year on an acre and a quarter. So even then, that was 20 years ago, that was still way less than my friends in New London were paying for a similar property.
It sounds like trying to bring in more business over the next year is going to benefit us both from a commercial real estate tax, but also then from a revenue standpoint as a town.
Yeah.
So we have some cut out for us.
Yeah, so I think that's something that, to your point, Rodney, we got to look at that balance too between the commercial and the private properties in town.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was looking at Grand List data the other day, because I remember we had talked, just about like what is the, the spread. And so like I just totaled up residential and non-residential, just kind of split it into two. But for the 2024 Grand List was just over 500 million for residential, and then all non-residential. So that's commercial, multifamily, vacant land, everything else, just under 41 million. So it's like a 90-10, it's a very big, disparity between the grand list on non-residential compared to residential.
Yeah. And then also taking a look at the property that you actually get the highest return on percentage-wise is unused private property. It's open space because the town will provide almost no services for them, and the people pay the taxes on all that land. Whereas if you bring in residential, then you're paying for schools, you're paying for
more police protection and so forth. And if you bring in businesses, say like a mall or something, and you increase the population of the town by a substantial amount during the day, you're bringing in more police and fire services and so forth to take care of that extra population you have during the day. So there's a whole bunch of, not that we're going to build a mall here or anything, but I'm just saying it just from a illustrative perspective, there's we got to look at the mix of properties as well, which what you brought up, Rodney. So it's a very good point. A lot
So
more.
in reality, the services that the town provides, as in the school and the fire department and everything else, 44 is a good spot because it's a state road, so there's minimal impact on the town. And even if they brought kids in, it's not like it's going to cost us more. We're still paying for it. So
Yeah, some of it's sunken cost and some of it is additional.
additional costs, yeah.
Because the schools, you got to pay for the buildings that you have to pay the build at the minimum with the schools. If we had a school age population miraculously disappear, we'd still be paying the bonds for those schools and we'd still be paying to maintain them. And if we didn't want to maintain them, we'd be taking another bond out to demolish them after the existing bonds were paid off, assuming we could legally do so. So there's
So,
a whole bunch of moving pieces.
at this point, this board is not allowed to advocate for or against, only about the budget. Is that correct still?
That is
Correct.
correct. So that's
Okay.
why I was limiting my comments before about getting everybody to come out and vote as opposed to telling them to vote. I don't tell them to vote one way or another anyway. It's their job to make up their minds on the information we provide. But officially, yes, you're right. At this point, no advocating from us. Private organizations are welcome to do so, as are the, town committees for the Democrats and the Republicans. They have their own, and private individuals can do so, but we cannot. Any further items to discuss? Because otherwise, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would second.
No one made a motion yet.
Oh, I thought you said
Nobody
you
made
meant.
the
I said I would
We'd
entertain. You
entertain.
don't
Okay, go
make a
ahead.
motion
Oh,
to chair.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. And I don't think there's going to be any opposed, and I'll abstain, but we're out of
Good night,
here.
everybody. Thank you for your hard work tonight.
Good
Yes, you
night.
can ask. Thank you.
Night.